Steve, you were the subject of an original song written by my partner, Wendy Snyder, this morning.
What?
It was quite an enjoyable little tune. Sorry, Stevie got a haircut. Stevie got a haircut. That was fun to listen to.
You know, I don't do things for you. I do them for me.
You do them for yourself. But I was next to you, and I couldn't help but hear the song. But it's
Bertrand
accurate.
Got a haircut.
Yeah, that's how it went.
Bertrand
it went just
got
like
a
that.
Haircut. Did
how,
you?
How long have you been working on the song? Because I did get a haircut about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I noticed it today.
Thank you.
Sometimes it takes a while to craft a song. You can't just write a song overnight.
Oh, I can write one in 30 seconds.
Oh, really?
You can tell by the lyrics.
Yeah.
No, it didn't show at all.
Very enjoyable tune, though. Hi, everybody. I'm Bill. That's Wendy. And, of course, Steve got a haircut. So that's all you need to know. You're all caught up. Later on in the show, Reverend Sanchez, the survivor of a plane crash in Mexico a very short time ago, celebrated Mass for the first time over the weekend since that plane crash. He will be a guest on the show, and we can talk to him about it. I can't imagine, once you have a near-death experience that's that near to death, it's got to change you forever, right?
Yes. I would imagine you take each day and live it to its fullest because you never know what's going to happen.
But isn't it sad? This is what I always think when people come out of something like that and they say essentially what you just said. It's like, oh, I have a new appreciation of life. Why does it take something so dramatic? Why can't we have that every day anyway? Why can't we just every single morning go, wow, I got another one. This is great.
I think as we get older, we'll do that. But right now, you think you're invincible, and we take everything for granted.
Yeah.
Everything.
Sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to stop.
Well, do something about it.
I'm going to definitely do something about it. I'm going to write some letters. We'll get this thing fixed.
Do you, now, here's just the greatest question of all time. Do you sue the airline for that? Because here's my thing. You should be thanking them. They
right.
did everything right, and you survived.
Right.
I know it was tragic. I can't even imagine the PTSD you go through
right.
after that's over. But
oh, that's a great question.
It's an accident.
I believe nobody
I
was
think someone,
killed.
Right.
Right? So there were some injuries, but no one was killed. All right. So that's good news. I would not look to sue in this situation. If this was me, I would take what you just said. I would go, wow, I really thought it was over. Because they always talk about, you know, how many minutes were spent worrying and we got to compensate them for that. But I would just go, you guys kind of saved my life. You put it in jeopardy, but then in the end, you saved it.
And that's what people say, you know, it was through your fault that this happened.
Right.
Is there always a fault? I mean, don't accidents happen?
Yeah. I think that's what makes them accidents, right?
Yeah.
Nobody on that plane set out to have anything like what happened. I always think of the Sully Sullenberger thing,
yep.
too, where he saved those people's lives, but they were after him after. I don't know if you ever saw the movie, but they were trying to figure out some fault in him. But he saved them. So that should be, at the end, you go, no, but the good news is everybody walked away. Everybody's alive. So that's good.
I just, I don't know how I would feel. I think, you know, you'd be relieved, you'd be happy, but I think I'd be crying for weeks. Just, you escape death by that
right
second.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even believe that. I don't like to fly to begin with, so.
I'd be thinking, wow, this could possibly maybe get me on the Bill and Wendy show.
Yep. I bet there was a little bit of that.
Please. It's so easy to get on this show. We have Tuesdays open. For some reason, we can't find guests on Tuesdays.
Yeah, come on. If
Jasmine tries, nobody can do it Tuesdays.
If anyone listening is in the area tomorrow, we need a guest.
Yeah.
So come on in. I wonder if at that point, he's a very religious man. He's a pastor. So I wonder if in those moments where you say to yourself, and he even said in the interviews he did yesterday, I really thought it was the end. I was positive it was
and
over.
And he said if you asked anyone on that plane if they thought this might be it, and he would assume everyone would have said pretty sure yes.
But I wonder if his faith, his religion helped him in those moments.
Absolutely.
You'd have to imagine that, right?
You have faith for that reason, and I'm kind of guilty of picking and choosing. I believe in God. I'm Catholic. I should go to church more. But, you know, at some point, you have to just go, it's out of my hands, you know? I believe in God, so it's like, dude, take care of this.
Yeah.
And I guess I shouldn't call God dude.
No, you should definitely call him that. He's asked that you call him that. He sent me a text. Did you see that? There's some show coming on in the fall And the whole premise of the show is that God wants to friend a guy on Facebook. Like, that's
what?
The whole
no.
show. The guy goes, yeah, I was living my life and everything was fine. And then I got a friend request from God. Cue the music. And then they show that that's what you're going to see every week is God reaching out to people wanting to be their Facebook friends. Yeah.
That would scare me. I don't know that I would want to friend him, because why does he want to be my friend?
So he can show you pictures of the food he's eaten in restaurants.
You're a bitter man.
I'm not a bitter man. That goes on nonstop on Facebook. So.
Wouldn't you rather see that than political firestorms?
50-50.
It's called a God Friended Me.
Yeah, that's the name of the show. Did you see the ads for this, Mayor?
I haven't seen the ads, but I'm reading about it.
Oh,
right now.
Who's in it? Anybody?
It looks so stupid. Here's a quick prediction.
Let's see who's
every
in
year,
it.
You know, 60 new shows premiere, and one by one, they're no longer on TV. I'm going to say that that's canceled either first or second, because the premise is so thin.
It's kind of like that show, Kevin Saves the World. There was that show on, and then there was Joan of Arcadia or Touched by an Angel.
But even those looked like they had there was some wiggle room with the premise. This, and everybody's got this weird starry-eyed, like the guy looks at his phone, and he's like, wow, I got a face request from God, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
This is going to be a goner.
Oh, no.
This is not going to last.
I don't know. Doesn't God already know my whereabouts? Why does he have
to... He doesn't need you on Facebook.
...watch where I checked in? He knows what I had for dinner.
Right.
I don't have to post a picture.
Yeah. And you get a big thumbs up.
Oh, if God likes your status.
You. That's excellent.
No, even Brandon Michael Hall is in it.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either. He was in The Mayor and Search Party.
Oh, I know that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Here's the premise. In the uplifting new drama, God Friended Me, which will air Sundays this fall on CBS.
For 10 minutes.
Brandon Michael Hall, the mayor in Search Party, stars as a podcast host, Miles Finer, a spiritual skeptic who doesn't exactly know what to do when the man upstairs appears to add Miles on Facebook.
Oh,
that doesn't even sound exciting to me.
I think it sounds like it could be kind of funny. I'm assuming it's a comedy.
I don't think they're going for funny, Steve.
No,
it doesn't look like it.
Figure out who he is the whole time.
Is that
what the deal is?
There'll be a lot of that.
Oh, brother.
A bunch of that. Even if I was deeply religious, I'd go, I'm going to hold off on this one.
That's a lot of pressure, because sometimes I post dirty things.
Maybe that's why he wants to friend you.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd accept it.
No? All right, let's do this. We'll take a quick break, and then there's a lot more show. Stick around for all that.
God, I love that guy.
How many years?
40.
Wow. That's a long time.
Bertrand's getting close. How many years have you been on WGN Radio, Steve?
33.
That's a long time.
My good golly.
Are they going to hold a big 33 and a third party for you?
I would hope so.
We'll all bring our favorite albums.
Right. Play just the 33s.
Someone better bring a turntable.
No. Oh, always.
A 33 is an album. 45 is the little one. A 78 is the one that plays on my Victrola.
You can still play a 78?
I have a Victrola.
Oh, that's excellent.
Oh, my God. I go
to... That's outstanding.
...flea markets when I go to Kane County.
Yeah.
I get... And I will tell you this. They've come a long way. This isn't vinyl. This is like... I don't know what it is, but, I mean, you look at it funny and it cracks.
Yeah, I know.
So you have to be very careful. But I find, like, these really interesting... artists,
yeah.
Al Jolson.
They stopped making them in the 60s, I think.
I'm not sure. I thought before that.
Yeah, earlier.
But it's so cool. My sister bought us this as a wedding gift. It's a Victrola.
Oh, nice.
And there are actual wooden needles that you put in the arm.
Sure.
And then you can get real needles, too. The wooden ones don't sound very well.
Yeah.
Or sound very good. But it is amazing to sit there, and you like the pop and hiss on a record album. I kind
of
love this, though.
Yeah, it's real dated.
And you have to crank it. There's no plug. It's just all you crank it.
My dad had a bunch of... When I was a kid, my dad had a bunch of 78s, but we didn't have any way to play them. So they were on a shelf, and we looked at them, but we could never play them.
Does he still have them?
I think so.
Because I would like them.
Yeah.
Or I'll just invite him over and we can
steal them from my
dad.
Have
a sock hop.
He always steal says them. To me, I wonder why Wendy never invites me over for a sock hop. And I go, well, because.
Got all these Al Jolson albums
right,
here.
Right, let's pop them on.
I love that thing. It's right in our front room.
Yeah.
That I never said until now. I say front room.
Yeah, you can say that.
But yeah, you crank it up, and then when you open, the bottom part has little slots that you can put 78s in.
Oh,
and when
nice.
You open it up, it gets louder. That's when like someone was showing it to me. They're like, and you know the volume on this thing? Just open the cabinet
doors. That's all
doors. It is. It's really cool.
Oh, that
I
is
I love all that, that old cool. time stuff.
This will take a minute. I just want to say this because I mentioned a week ago that my tennis team, we were in the Illinois State finals yesterday.
How'd it go?
We won. So
hate your face.
Yeah.
You just really take us down a path of sadness when it's jubilant.
I don't mean to do that.
Well, good golly, champ. That's great news.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Steve. So to get there once, we won it 3 years ago. We won the Illinois State title. This is in the over 40 bracket because we're all over 40. To get there once was amazing. I never thought I'd get there one time, but now the second time in 4 years that my team has done it. So now we go to Indianapolis in 2 weeks. We play there. If we win that, there's five teams in the Midwest region. Then we go for the national title, which is...
Look at you!
Yeah,
and you don't have to bring any kids to college, do you?
That was last
time.
I know, that was such a dilemma.
That was confusing. And actually, one of the players on our team, one of our best players, had a similar situation yesterday. It was his 40th birthday. It's his first year on the team. He's a great player. And his wife, for his 40th birthday, bought him this package where they went to Arizona and stayed at a spa and stuff. But it all happened this past weekend, so he wasn't even with us yesterday because he said, my wife went through all this trouble to make this, you know, birthday weekend a special thing for me. He goes, I can't even mention to her that
I want to be playing tennis. Well, it's a good thing he went, or he wouldn't have had another birthday.
I know.
Can't you reschedule something like that? I mean, again, this is a twice-in-a-lifetime occurrence.
I think if it was the next round, he probably would have rescheduled, but none of us expected to get this far.
Yeah.
Good for you. Thank you. But one of the players on my team, Mike, said that if I don't mention it on the air, he said, I'm going to take the day off tomorrow and listen to the show, and if you don't mention this, I'm going to have you kicked off the team, and I don't want that. So,
and you're coming off of a loss, the only one who lost the last time.
Last week,
yeah.
I did lose.
How'd you do? You won today?
I won yesterday. A guy named Jim from Peoria, the team we played was a Peoria team. They were outstanding. Very, very tough match. The guy I played was such a nice guy. But in losing last week, I learned so much that I used yesterday. I know that sounds weird, but...
No, you don't typically lose, so...
I don't lose a lot, but I do try to turn it into a positive somehow. And it was a similar match yesterday, just a long... We played for 2 hours and 20 minutes. It was a long match.
Wow.
But I did that same thing where all through the match, I'm just saying in my head, we've come too far to lose today. I'm not going to walk out of here without winning this match. And it paid off.
I am so proud of you.
Oh, thank you. It was a very exciting day.
You love to play tennis, and to have some accolade is really awesome.
It feels good. It really does.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Michael from Bartlett called in to win those Sox tickets. Probably not as exciting as winning the Nationals.
No, it is still exciting.
You know, the Sox game is a lot of fun. He got a family four-pack. He's from Bartlett. And keep listening for that White Sox sounder. You'll know it when you hear it. And then we kind of nudge you and say, hey, now's your time to call in because we're going to give you seats to the Sox all regular season long.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Should we take a break?
Yeah, and then more show. You know what's coming by, Wendy. Noted pet expert Steve Dale.
I hope he brought a puppy.
Wouldn't that be great?
For me.
Did he bring one? No.
I know, the big sigh of relief.
All right, more after this. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
All right, guess who's here?
It's noted pet expert Steve Dale, Wendy. That's who's here.
Ta-da!
It is so nice to see you.
Always good to see you, Steve.
Thank you.
Happy World Elephant Day, by the way.
Yes.
Yesterday?
How did you celebrate?
Oh, quietly at home.
Quietly?
Yeah.
You didn't have an elephant ear?
No, not yesterday.
And you didn't, make sounds like an elephant?
No. Please tell me that's with your mouth, Wendy, please.
Yes. Oh, Bill. Can I tell you, I saw the cutest video that I shared with every family member about, it was a toddler elephant that was rolling around with this little girl.
I've seen that.
Isn't that adorable?
Yeah, yeah.
How much does a baby elephant weigh? This is not a joke.
A lot. I'd have to look that up.
Probably
a few hundred pounds.
Yeah.
You know, elephants, and I know we want to talk about this.
Did it with my mouth.
A different species. Elephants actually communicate far more than we ever would have thought. We now know that. They have communications that we can't hear because the signaling, the communication, it is at a volume where the decibel level is so low. Mm. So often we think of like dogs, you know, like the dog whistles and the decibel level is so high, we can't hear it. With elephants, it's infrasonic communication. So it's actually low.
Like James Earl Jones so is low. Doing something.
James Earl Jones
He's
can
the only
with
one who can understand.
But the rest of us cannot. True or false, we always hear elephants never forget. True or false?
They have amazing memories. So that is how they find... So that's how they find water, for example. I mean, in the year 2004, there was a great drought. I'm making up that year, but this is the kind of example. There was a great drought. And 300 miles away... The elephants found water. Mm-hmm. They will all go to that place because the matriarch, or more than one elephant, remembers.
Oh, wow.
So they do have amazing
That's
memories.
That's based on truth, then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
How did you celebrate World Elephant Day?
I wrote a blog post about... I celebrate in strange ways, but I was excited to write a blog post about some things that actually are good that are happening for elephants and
like
some things that are not so
What's
good.
What's a good thing?
Well, in my view, what's good is that the governor of the state of Illinois is about to sign some bills that'll help protect elephants, including that right now already Illinois is the only state and the first state in the country to say no performing elephants at circuses.
Yeah.
It can't be.
Yeah.
And it's part of the reason why Ringling Brothers saw the writing on the wall and said we're not including elephants in our shows anymore. I mean, all of that, in my view, is a good thing. In Illinois, if Rauner signs the bill, won't allow ivory imports into the state.
That is a good thing.
Because the U.S. government is somehow saying it's okay. So that's a bad thing that we've kind of gone backwards from some... Yeah, I mean, we're part of the problem now by saying it's okay to essentially kill elephants.
If you were an elephant and you were not a Republican, would you feel that your party has abandoned you somehow?
Yes, I absolutely think that.
Yeah,
elephants, I've never been asked that question. That's a very good question.
Thank you, Steve.
You never will be again either.
I probably not, but I think that's a very appropriate question to ask. Yes, that would only happen on this program.
Well, thank you, Steve.
You're welcome.
That's very, very nice of you.
And
it's
where can we read this blog?
Question. SteveDale.TV.
All right.
But elephants, like so many members of the animal world, have essentially the same neurochemistry in their heads as we all have in ours. And they have the same feelings. And they may or may not be able to express them similarly as we do. And there's a great example of that that just played out that made the news with an orca or killer whale.
I saw this video, too. It's heartbreaking.
This is where the baby whale did not survive? I saw this.
Yeah, the baby whale died, but mom kept
grieving.
Literally holding on to this whale.
Yeah.
And in doing so, she couldn't eat, you know, for weeks and weeks at a time because she didn't want to let go, literally and figuratively, let go of this baby that, for unknown reasons, died. And it's not unusual. I mean, in the animal world, a significant percent, and I read that it's up to 75%, and it should not be that high, of killer whale babies are now not making it.
Why?
There just isn't enough food. The salmon is being overfished by all of us. That is,
I don't eat salmon, so you can't blame me.
One thing that they eat.
Fries are done.
I didn't hear anything. They are really having a hard time. They're disappearing. And so are elephants. You know, I hate to bring that bad news. And, you know, people think, how would this affect me? So if elephants were to, I'm back to elephants now, if they were to disappear from the planet, it would affect you. Elephants are as significant as one example that no one would ever think of.
What is it?
They are a significant pollinator.
Are they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because they eat all those leaves and with it the flowers.
Yeah.
And then they travel long distances and it comes out the other end. And they are a significant pollinator. They impact so many other species, from insects onto various kind of antelopes. By clearing trees and at times literally knocking them over, it allows grasses to grow that other animals eat and other animals find refuge in, big animals and small animals. They are a significant part of our ecosystem. And when I mean ours, including all of us. And that's what people don't understand, and it's unfortunate because when these animals ultimately potentially disappear, I don't know what the planet will be like, but it will affect all of us.
Go back to the orca and, yeah. and the mother who lost the baby.
Yeah.
So what percentage of animals, or can you even guess,
it depends
understand
on...
the concept of death? Do most animals or most animals not?
Mammals.
They do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure do. And maybe even more than that. So we know chimpanzees, for example, have been studied, and they're very closely related to us, and in some ways, in really scary ways,
yeah.
actually. But they will carry around babies that have passed away. Elephants are famous for having elephant grave sites, right? And they will return to those elephant grave sites.
They know when they're going to die, so they say in their heads, there's a place that I need to go to when I'm dying, right?
At times, yes. Yeah. Huh. Yeah.
Wait, you mean like there's a gravesite where an elephant was buried or...
Well, they literally don't have the physical capability to bury them.
But they die there and then they go back to, what, pay their respects?
It seems we don't know why.
That's wild.
Yeah. Yeah. So they do apparently have some sort of concept of death and what they're thinking.
And they understand
we don't
know. Its permanence somehow.
I believe so. Yeah. I mean, we don't know. We don't know. But we do know that there are emotions there.
Yeah.
And it's clear, you know, and YouTube is a great thing. So now you could type the stuff into YouTube and you can see a black bear mourn the death of a partner, if mm-hmm. you will. You can see Canadian geese that mate for life mourn the death. And if you, okay, you don't have to call it mourning, but boy, they're doing something that certainly is odd, unusual. They look like they're upset.
Mm-hmm.
Call it what you want, but there's certainly emotions, and it's happening, and you can see it.
Don't you wish you could? I'm not asking you this. Don't you wish you could talk to animals? Don't break into Dr. Doolittle's. I'm serious. Because
now, if there ever was a straight line for you, Bill.
There it is.
You know, like pediatricians have a tough job. They
yes.
look at symptoms,
it's
but they can't ask a kid what's
yes.
going on. Same thing with vets, and mm-hmm. it's trial and error and trying to figure it out.
Absolutely true.
I wish
as
could talk.
As you've understood with your dog. So, you know, when Tiki has an upset stomach, do you
this
know
is Kona.
That it's...
Tiki's no longer with
sorry.
Us. That's
sorry. Sorry.
Right.
So when Kona has an... I'm sorry. When Kona has an upset stomach, I mean, how do you know exactly?
It is.
Yeah. I mean, actually, dogs can get upset stomachs. We know this from nervous pressure, if you will, just like people can. So when things get anxious for dogs...
Yeah.
Maybe not the same thing that makes you or I anxious.
But being in the crate maybe too long, they don't like it, or not
yeah.
getting enough stimulation.
Yeah, they can get it. It goes to their stomach, just like it goes to their gut, just like it does for people.
Probiotics, my vet
there's
recommended probiotics. I'm not kidding.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
answer.
We're learning more about that. And one of my rare fill-in opportunities, I had an expert on GI disease and people talk about the relationship we're now beginning to understand that you have talked about on the air now, actually, for years,
mm-hmm.
Wendy, between our brains
and
our
gut.
Yeah.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder, noted pet expert. Steve Dale is with us. And we were talking about elephants, which is a pachyderm. Pachyderm is a Latin term meaning thick-skinned, and I believe rhinos would also come into that category.
Yes, very
great
nice.
Great
wow.
transition.
You know,
wow.
that's a turn-on for Steve Dale when I talk about toys or old actors. That's what does it for
yeah.
Bill.
Everyone has their soft spot.
So to speak.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Nice.
Call HR. Yep.
But elephants don't have the skin that is as thick as you would think it is, actually.
Right.
So I was just talking to a veterinarian who wanted to administer acupuncture to an elephant. Because those are the kind of people I talk to.
Yeah.
And
what would the purpose of that be exactly, Steve?
The same as for people. So
yeah.
this elephant was having difficulty with arthritis and movement as a result of that.
Yeah.
And it was thought by the zoo veterinarians that acupuncture might help. Turns out she needed to give laser therapy because the acupuncture needles would not nearly penetrate the
yeah.
elephant's skin. So, yes, rhinoceros, another animal, a big animal that's disappearing. Zookeepers all around the country are trying to do something about it. And it's an event called, and it's happening in cities all over, including Chicago, Bowling with Rhinos.
For rhinos.
Oh.
I don't think with rhinos.
They can't bowl,
I got
Steve.
That wrong.
They'd sound like Fred Flintstone. They just stick the bowling ball on their horn?
It's impossible.
I didn't know that.
No, it's bowling for elephants.
White rhinos. White rhinos have, they're lighter in complexion. They have a very square nose, whereas a black rhino, their lip is like a little finger where they can...
I learned all this on our script for Brookfield Zoo
when I worked on the motor
safari. So right. Yes.
There's a big difference.
And there is. And in temperament, there seems to be as well. Black rhinos are a little less patient. Rhinos don't see very well. And they're very famous for charging and asking questions.
That's why their
later.
Credit rating is so bad.
How about that, Steve?
They do charge because they can't see.
Two drink
see,
minimum
right?
from now on, was Steve. This, when you come in. There's a two drink minimum.
I didn't set
was
myself
this part
up.
Of the
no.
Stick you did?
No.
It's very good.
Oh, I should have used that. Yeah. No.
I think so. And the Javan and Sumatran rhino in particular are disappearing really, really fast. Seriously. I mean,
from poaching or what?
Yes. So for those guys, it's habitat destruction as well as poaching for the black rhino and white rhino. They've even been poached in zoos.
How does that happen?
Some bad guys break into the zoo and they shoot. No, they shoot the rhino.
Oh, no.
They saw off the horn, which is supposed to be an aphrodisiac. It is made of keratin. So if that is an aphrodisiac, every time you clip your nails, keep the little clippings. Yeah, or something. Yeah, because it's made of the same thing.
Oh, my God.
Actually.
It's awful.
It is awful.
But now bowling will somehow help the rhinos.
Yes, it does.
I'm not sure how, but how?
It's a benefit.
Oh,
So the money raised will help protect the rhinos. It's
Ryan Sandberg should host that.
Oh, now you're thinking.
Been given to maybe he will be the special guest.
Maybe he will.
I don't know. That's a good idea. You should have him on and ask him about it.
All right,
5:30. PM, August 21st.
Why do I think we're not booking that?
I don't know
that
that's going to happen, all right.
At Diversey River Bowl, which is on Diversey and Logan.
Yeah.
It's a bowling alley.
Yeah.
And you go into the bowling alley, you get pizza if you pay to be there, you get some soft drinks, and if you pay for it, you have the opportunity to bowl for rhinos, and the money really does go to rhinoceros conservation.
That sounds like a good thing.
All right, so helping animals, there's a guy that you and I love, Bill, friend of the show.
He loves you.
Well, we love him as well. Doc Emmerich.
Oh, the best.
Yeah. He is the best storyteller in the land. He does a great job, and he loves dogs.
He does. So who knew he would be getting up early on Sunday mornings to listen to me? And he got my cell phone number from a producer here, and he calls me one day, and he says, "This is Doc Emmerich." And I'm a hockey fan, so at first I didn't want to believe it, but who doesn't Doc Emmerich imitation? So I recognized his voice. I mean, it had to be him. So, and it was.
And you're a big Blackhawk fan.
Yeah, so and he has several times given money to animal welfare organizations in Chicago, and he's doing it again. He called and he said, "How can I help? I'm ready to help again." So he wrote a check, and we presented this check on the Steve Cochran Show for $1,200 to Chicago Canine Rescue. And this will adopt out, makes it possible to subsidize adoptions for four dogs. The dogs we named Caner, Taser, Doc,
you had to,
and Stosh.
Yep.
Yeah, Makita. Stan Makita was a dog lover, actually. So we thought that would be a nice thing to do. We're going to post pictures of those dogs. But something happened. And by the way, you'll be able to see pictures of those dogs during the week. At some point, when I get them, I'll post them at stevedale.tv. We had a dog in named Jade. And we've been adopting on the radio for 18 months in a row or something like that. Every dog we... And at first it was easy. They'd give me these little white fluffy dogs and it was easy. But then it got more difficult. Periodically, I'd get an older dog. I'd get a dog that looks like a pit bull. They're always a bit tougher to adopt out, unfortunately. Or they'd give me... we had a couple three-legged dogs in here. A dog that was missing an eye. And I was able to adopt all these dogs out. For some reason, Jade, who is a perfectly wonderful miniature pincher, as of Friday, has not been yet adopted. So I'm going to give that a plug, too. Jade is a bit older, 10 years old. But for a mini pin, that's not elderly. They do tend to live a long time. So you can see pictures of Jade. And I hope you know someone who's interested and can share that. And that's on my website, too, which is, again, stevedale.tv.
And really quickly, we have like 30 seconds here, but I noticed another thing you wanted to talk about. Babies may be healthier with a pet.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of times we sterilize things too much and then all these allergies pop up. So if there's a pet in the house, perhaps they're getting good and bad bacteria to build up immunities.
It turns out we're talking about the gut again. So the what's inside the gut of your dog, if you live with your dog, it turns out over time, first of all, experts say your spouse. So if you live with a partner, that you share the same probiotics and prebiotics over time.
Well, yeah, because you play kissy face.
But maybe that's one reason. I don't know why.
I don't call it kissy face typically.
You don't? Are you sure? Yeah. All right. So what happens?
He just made a face when you said kissy face. It turns out the same thing is true with our dogs, mm-hmm. which in a way is not surprising because we evolved with dogs.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, for thousands of years, we have lived with dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And dogs, back in the caveman days, I mean, they lived with us and trusted us to care for their puppies, and we trusted them not to eat our babies. I mean, it goes back that far.
They had that in writing, didn't they?
They did. It was a contractual agreement.
I remember seeing that.
So it really is not a surprise to me that this is the case, and it is, for several reasons, beneficial to have a pet in the home, for lots of reasons, actually. But even before the kid is like a year or two old, once the kid is a couple of years old, there are all sorts of other reasons, like
kindness, compassion.
Yeah, all that is true.
Taking care of something, being gentle.
All that is true.
Yep. So get your kid a wombat, right, Steve?
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, you have a gibbon.
Yeah, Peanut the gibbon.
He doesn't have that gibbon anymore.
We still have
him.
We
got him again.
No, we got him again.
He died.
And then
he didn't.
What, did you get his DNA?
Gibbons come
never
back.
Die.
They never
come back.
Truly die. They always regenerate
they're
themselves.
They're big swingers.
Yeah.
SteveDale.tv, is that how people take care of all the info?
It's how they do that.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you, noted pet expert Steve Dale.
Thank you.
We'll take a break and then some news and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks so much. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Don't forget, in a half an hour, Reverend Ezekiel Sanchez, he is the reverend from Des Plaines who was involved in a horrible plane crash not long ago. Certainly, we're thrilled that he survived it. Everybody on the plane survived it. But he'll be on to tell about his ordeal with us. That happens in a half an hour. Right now, I'm sure you've noticed that most stores are throwing up their back-to-school sales. Have you seen this already?
Well, yeah, because school starts Monday,
yeah.
A week from today.
Yep.
I'm already starting to freak out.
Yep.
It's a lot of getting ready to do. I haven't gotten my school supplies yet for
Nothing?
The kids.
You got a week. You're all right.
I know, but it's just, I think of you all the time, and just it's the last week of summer. I have to hear the boys whining about that, the last week of summer. But there's something to be said. It's kind of depressing.
Well, first of all, they shouldn't go back until the first week in June.
I agree.
More and more schools are now doing this thing where they go a little bit later, they start a little bit earlier, but we always went back either June 4th, 5th, or 6th. That's when we always started.
When you got out.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, wait. We'd go back September 4th, 5th, or 6th.
Right, it was after Labor Day.
Always after
Labor
Day.
That's when it happened.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I guess there's sort of a nice little bonus because you go back to school and then you get an extended weekend right away. That's kind of nice. But I don't recall. We had asked this before, why the school calendar changed so much, and there's a specific reason for it, and I can't remember what it was.
I don't remember. There was a definite specific reason.
Of why they don't just start after Labor Day.
I just know that when I was a kid, as soon as we saw Jerry Lewis, it was time to get our stuff ready because we were going to school a day later, two days later. Yeah. All right, so they've come up with a thing in Colorado. More and more schools are doing this, where they've shifted from the traditional five-day school week, which I think all of us experienced. I'd be shocked if anybody listening didn't have a five-day school week. That was always standard. In Colorado, they're making a shift. More and more schools are deciding that a four-day school week is the way to go.
Why? So they can smoke some more weed?
It doesn't say that in the story, Wendy, but I think you're on to something.
So how many days would they go?
I think they just forget that it's Monday. They go, what was I supposed to do today? Oh, yeah, school. I missed it again. Can you believe it? They will not go to school on Mondays. They will go Tuesday through Friday, and they'll have a slightly longer day Tuesday through Friday. But where do you stand on that? Is that a good thing? If you were a kid and you were given the option, you can have your traditional five-day school week – same amount of time every day, or we'll shift you to a four-day school week, no more school on Mondays.
Who's not going to pick that? I'd pick that for a work week. An extra day of the weekend would make me better.
You know who's not going to pick it? The coaches, like football coaches.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think about that.
Because if you don't go to school, you can't have practice, usually,
no,
for sports.
No, I think they would find a way to say, it's too important to our sports program. We're still going to have, actually, they might increase the amount of time they have practice because they don't have school to worry about.
Well, sometimes they don't have, if there's no school, they don't allow, like, athletic practices.
Yeah, but that's not true either, because in the summer, the kids go, you know.
Well, they call them camps, though. They call them something else. And sometimes the coaches are not allowed to go to those camps.
Oh, interesting, because it violates a union rule?
Yeah, they can only coach for a certain amount of days. I don't know, there's some bunch of different weird rules at different high schools. I remember my kids. Can I just say this is the first year in 27 years I am not sending a kid back to
college. How does that feel?
Isn't that weird? I thought of that the other day, and I went, oh, my God, I don't have to buy anything back to school related. Nobody's going back to school.
Feels nice, doesn't
Relief,
it?
Relief, but also, isn't it kind of sad?
Well, three kids through all the way through college, so I'm happy.
You still bought their supplies when they were in college?
No, I didn't.
My kids were getting cigar boxes and pencil cases.
Yeah, I was like, Mom, I need one notebook.
And stickers
okay,
for that.
Okay, fine.
Stickers if you're good.
They bought their books, you know, whatever.
Oh, that's excellent.
I know. Well,
congratulations.
Still got a kid living at home, but that's okay.
That's all right.
That's all right.
That'll fix itself.
He's working. So.
Yeah. That's fine. I'm torn. I like the idea of not going to school on Monday, but then the fact that every day would be... how long is the average school day? Is it 6 hours, 6.5 hours, would you say?
Well, 7:45 to 3.
14 hours.
No, that's 7 hours.
It's a long day.
It's too long.
So now you're going to add an hour and a half to that.
I mean? Yeah.
All of a sudden, what was a long day becomes a very long day. Just that extra 90 minutes every day would be a very long day.
And I figured out why schools made the shift. This is on CNN.com, and I knew there was a reason for it because their article is, when did August become the new September?
Yeah.
Because typically, everyone had a 180-day school year that started after Labor Day and ended in June.
Right, right.
And some of the reasons are an earlier start date gives teachers more instructional time before statewide assessment tests in the spring. That's one of the biggest factors pushing calendars back, so they have more prep time because the better the kids do on the test, the more the school, the more
they
money
get more
the school.
Federal,
beginning in August allows students to complete the first semester before the December holiday break so they can take their finals before.
Oh, yeah.
So that changed. But, I mean, we did okay.
Did fine.
I don't recall if we took our finals before Christmas break.
I think that depended on how your year, you know, various schools break up their year differently. Semesters,
right.
Trimesters, they can vary a little bit. Because, you know, when I went to Catholic school, my friends at the public school, their finals were at some point that we didn't even have to worry about. And then ours were when they didn't have to worry about. That's what separated us from the publics.
Right. I was
those
a public.
Cro-Magnons.
Yep. My brow is bigger than yours.
Yes.
But that's just, I guess that makes sense. I knew there was a reason for it, but it just seems so much better that you know, after Labor Day, and if everybody's doing it at the same time, it seems more fair. And then when we were in California, the bellman told me that in California, they go back to school, God, what did he say? Like the first week of August.
Yeah.
And then they get out, they don't get out till July. And I said, you have to be wrong on that. He goes, no, it's like the first, right before 4th of July. And I said, why is that such a long year? They get like almost a month off around Christmas time.
Right. Well, my cousins who lived in Florida, their school was toying with the idea. Now, this is years ago, because I know some schools have adopted this and have gone for it. They were thinking about a year long, you would go to school year round. You get a longer break at Christmas. You get a longer break for spring. The breaks that we always had that were always a week or 10 days become a little bit longer. But it would be year-round school. No summer vacation. So my cousins were trying to convince their mom to switch school. We got to switch schools. We don't want to go all year round. And as funny as it seemed to me, I go, yeah, I think I'd be in that same camp. I don't think I'd want to go year round.
You need that time to reboot as a student, whether you're in elementary school or you're in college.
Yeah.
You need that time.
Yeah.
And if you choose to do summer school, it's still a month out. That's it. You still have a break.
Right.
I don't know. But this would be 4 days, longer days. And
they'd extend every day about an hour and a half, give or take just a little bit.
School's too long to begin with. It really is.
I wonder what the long last. I wonder, like, if they did it for a while and kept tabs on those kids and see how they did later on. I wonder if they would be more or less successful because of this.
Doesn't your? I mean, the last few classes of the day, I know you're just watching the clock. Yeah. You are. It's a long day.
No, I was the opposite. I was like that for the first and second class of the day, but as the day progressed, my brain would be ready for it.
My brain was ready, but my body was ready to get out of school.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just sitting there all day.
Yeah.
And then our school had, and many schools had toyed with a later start. Our school, every other Wednesday, they have a late start day, and it's an hour late.
Oh.
They do it, I don't know, for teachers to have meetings or something.
But how do they do that? Isn't there a class scheduled in that first hour, or is it just homework?
Well, they just shift the classes, so every class is then a little shorter that day.
Oh.
And they had talked about making every Wednesday a late start day, and 7:45 is a very early start. I think when I went to high school, the bell rang at 8:10.
Yeah.
7:45.
That's
a crucial half hour when you're a teenager and you don't feel like getting up in the morning.
But I don't know how many schools are in your area, but in Evanston, they stagger the start times on purpose for traffic reasons. It's very smart.
And for like if you're a parent who has a kid in K through 6 or at the junior high, they stagger the start times so you could drop them all off.
Yeah.
But let the little kids get up at 6 in the morning. Have that one start early.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
Yeah.
And then the middle one could be the junior high, and then the high schooler should start later.
So the older you are, the later you start.
No, that's how it should be. Right now, I think it's 8:30 at the K through 6. It's 8:35. The high school is 7:45.
Oh.
That's just so early.
And then if you're in sports, a lot of the sports teams,
6 a.m.
Like if you're a swimmer.
6 a.m. Sometimes 5 a.m.
Wow. That's a little early.
That's dedication, man.
It is. Your thoughts on this, Colorado switching or thinking about switching to a four-day school week. Are you for it or against it? And how would your kids feel? It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. Bill, you posed a question to the people out there. Colorado is adapting a new school week.
Yeah, four-day school week. So you would not go to school anymore on Mondays. You said so that people can smoke more dope. It doesn't say that in my story, but you could be right. So no school on Mondays. You go Tuesday through Friday, and they'll add about 90 minutes to 2 hours each of those days, Tuesday through Friday. Good idea or bad idea?
I would like it if they didn't add the 90 minutes to 2 hours.
Yeah, that'd be better, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Scooter, what do you think?
Hey, well, listen, with the school week, I don't know how that work would work, whatever, but I'd vote for it if I was still in high school or whatever.
All for it, huh?
You know, I'm all for it. Heck yeah, vote a 3-day week. We'll go 14 hours a day for 3 days. How's that?
How about a 1-day school week where you go for 26 hours?
I'd do that.
Yeah, marathon, huh? Yeah. But anyways, I was calling because the town of Cicero, which is a genius idea, their employees, they're open from Monday to Thursday, 8 in the morning to 8 at night. They're open 12 hours a day, 4 days, and they have Friday off, so a 3-day week. 3-day, you know, so they have a 4-day work week, which is like genius. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It works out. You know, I mean, that's not bad at all when you get a 3-day weekend off.
I guess not.
Although I'd rather have Monday off than Friday.
I would, too.
Why? Why would you do that? There's more to do on Friday than there is on Monday.
No, because...
If you're going to take a day off Friday, there's a lot more going on. You get away for the weekend and stuff, and Monday's a dead day, so you might as well be working. There ain't much going on Mondays.
I don't know. I could hear that all day long, but in my head, I'm like, no, Mondays would be good. Monday's the day you just naturally dread because you go, I got 5 days of work ahead of me.
That's why, then you get it old, and Friday you're ready to go. By Thursday night, that's your Friday night, and then you got Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Go back to work Monday. There's nothing going on Mondays, usually any downtown, any festivals or anything. It's up, you know, so Monday's a good day.
I don't do anything anymore anyway, so.
Doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter, yeah. Scooter.
Scooter, thanks.
Thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
So many of the texts, Wendy, are all for a year-round school year. Where you would go to school essentially through summer vacation. You get a little time off for the spring break and Christmas break, but so many of the texts. And then one of the texts, or two of the texters said, what does this do to kids in preparation for a real job? If they go to school and don't have to go to school on Mondays, you're going to go to a job and go, wait, I have to work on Monday? I don't think so. I'm not used to this.
Yeah, but Bill, think of it. What does having summer break teach you about a real job? We don't get a summer
break.
No
one does. Our teachers do, and that's it. Yeah, but any other profession, you have to go to your job year round. So,
and yeah. A lot of teachers get a summer job to supplement their income too. So,
yeah.
4 day school week, Bill, listener Bill, what do you think?
Yeah, it seems like a bad idea for numerous reasons.
Because why?
Well, first, you're going to go longer.
Yeah.
Therefore, you're going to get home later.
Yeah.
And presumably, you're going to supposed to be able to do as much in 4 days, which means you'd have to get homework done in the same quantity, and you would have less time to do it because you're getting home later. And if anybody gets into extracurricular activities, those are going to be even later getting home. So they're going to have to try to do even more work with less time.
I don't like it. I really don't like
it.
No. I also agree with Wendy on summer break.
Yeah.
That's like a good thing to rejuvenate.
Yeah, absolutely.
You need to reboot, and I'm not even from Canada.
But that 4 day week, I didn't hear you give a reason as to why they thought that was a good idea.
It's
but
for
it sounds
money.
Like some way they're trying to save money.
Yeah, that's it exactly.
Give a benefit to the teachers.
Well, yeah. So many people in
I don't know where they save the money.
Well, you don't have to pay the teachers quite as much. You don't have to pay the bus drivers quite as much. You don't have to pay all the the
utilities,
the women who work in the lunchroom quite as much. You're saving that way.
Bill, thank you for calling. Oops, sorry, my finger slipped. Someone, and this is 100% true, parents who work 5 days a week would need to figure out what happens on Monday.
Yeah.
That's why it's a bad idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, year-round might be a good idea.
Do you think your kids would agree with you on that?
No.
Not a chance, right?
No, but
my cousins were so panicked because their school was going, yeah, we're almost positive we're going to do it. And my cousins were saying, oh, no.
And they ended up
not
doing it?
We have to go somewhere else. Yeah, because so many students then said to their parents, find another option. I don't want to go year-round. I would have hated that. The only thing that kept me going
was the dangling carrot of
summer. I would go, wow, in 58 more days, I get summer vacation. I can make it. I can get through
this. I know.
This.
I mean, I was kind of excited always to get back to school. Probably high school is when, like, whatever. I don't, I see all my friends anyway. I don't need to go to school
right.
to see them. When you're younger, that's like your social life,
I guess.
Too.
Yeah.
So I'm mad at my kids for not wanting to start school, but I guess that's just normal.
Yeah.
I just liked getting new clothes and
sure.
school supplies. I liked the way they smelled.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there's that. All right, we'll take a quick break, then some news, and then the Chicago pastor, the Des Plaines pastor that was in a horrible airplane crash but lived to tell the tale. We'll talk to him in just a little bit. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. We're awaiting a guest.
The Reverend Ezekiel Sanchez from Des Plaines. He is the Reverend at the Our Lady of Guadalupe Church. Yesterday, he celebrated Mass for the first time since his plane crash about a week ago. And what an incredible story. They did not expect to live through it.
Aeromexico, all the passengers survived flight 2431 in Durango, Mexico. And there are four more passengers that were injured that have filed lawsuits against the airline.
Right.
And we brought that up before. It's like, I know they, two are sisters. One is a woman who was hospitalized on her return home. Another is a young man who suffered trauma to his neck and back. I mean, they should pay for medical bills, absolutely.
Yeah.
But, and pain and suffering, yeah, everyone had it. And trauma, yeah, everyone had it. But, I mean, at some point, aren't you just thankful to be alive?
Very much so. I don't know if you remember this, Wendy. Probably you will. A couple of weeks ago, Rich Lankoff was here, our legal analyst. And we were talking about the lady who, remember last year, the lady who got sucked out of the airplane?
Yes.
A horrible story. So he said that one of the things they decide when awarding damages is exactly how much time was spent suffering and, worrying about what was about to happen.
And how long it took you to die.
Yeah.
Which is really sick to think about.
Without a doubt, if you're on an airplane that seems like it's about to perish, there's all that going through your head, but exactly how much do you award somebody? That's not the main reason we're having the Reverend on. We just want to talk to him about the miracle that, he and everybody else on that plane survived. But you brought it up earlier. that becomes a factor, right? With anybody who's suing the airline or about to sue the airline, I'm sure they're going to say, well, those minutes were the worst moments of my life, thinking I was about to die in a plane crash.
And, you know, I'm not judging anyone because I'm not in that position, and perhaps my views would change if I was the one who went through all that.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for everyone survived. The Mexico City-bound Aeromexico plane went down shortly after lifting off. This was July 31st. It lifted off from an airport in northern Mexico. 49 of the 103 passengers, including Sanchez, was injured. 49 of the 103 passengers. He was treated for several fractures to his arm before returning to Chicago.
Yeah.
So there were injuries.
Without a doubt.
Because a plane crashed.
Right. Very hard to get through that unscathed.
Yeah.
Very hard.
And Sunday was a big day. He was joined by fellow passengers in Des Plaines at Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Mm-hmm.
And he's at some kind of meeting right now.
Right.
So we are waiting for him.
A meeting that is far more important than talking to you and me on the radio. I don't blame him. But I asked earlier, and I want to ask him when he's on, we always hear about when somebody goes through a near-death experience, how all of a sudden there's a new appreciation for life, and I can never figure out why we just don't have that automatically. Why does it take something where we go, oh, I'm about to die, to make you realize how amazing life is?
It's just a, you can't explain it till you feel it.
I guess.
It really is. And again, your spiritual beliefs, I think, take control of you during a time like that. I mean, you've heard people before, I'm not a religious person, but I prayed at the time of such and such. You know, unfortunately, we reach for God in desperate measures, and we should reach for him more often when things are going well.
I always wonder, there is a phrase I'm sure you've heard where they say there's no atheists in foxholes, meaning if you're in the war or a situation like that and you're sure that it's about to be the end of your life, that all of a sudden, if you're not religious, you somehow find religion. I wonder if that's always the case.
Well, it seems like God is always waiting for us to change our mind. And the Reverend is on the line with us.
The Reverend Ezequiel Sanchez from Our Lady of Guadalupe in Des Plaines. Sir, first of all, What a couple of weeks it's been for you, huh?
And how? To say the least. I'm so happy to be with everyone on this side of existence, so it's good. Imagine.
We were just discussing the miraculous events that took place where no one died in this plane crash. I'm not a very good flyer to begin with. I can't even imagine the terror that you were going through and everyone else.
Well, sure, those things are always unexpected, I guess that's why we call them accidents, but when they're in that level of severity, you know, there's only two choices to go, either go hysterical or try to take a moment to compose yourself and pray, hope you get through this well. If not, may the Lord be merciful.
Were people lined up by your chair, Reverend, just thinking, boy, if anyone on this plane has an inside track, it's this man right here. I must spend time with you.
Well, not necessarily.
No.
They're more thinking about getting back to work or getting back to their homes.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're, for those who knew I was on board, some sort of consolation. They always say it's always have to have a priest or a doctor on board. So.
Yep.
So you were back to conducting Mass on Sunday, and how many survivors joined you for that Mass?
It looked like about seven or eight kind of joined us. It's something that we all needed. It was my first Mass publicly in front of the community again, with my way to get to the community. And as you, it's about over 2,000 people came to join us for that particular Mass. We all need healing. We just don't always heal just on our physical body. Everything gets shaken up. And so there's some healing that only happens when the community comes together. And prayer is very much a necessary balm.
You say coming together, you know, it is a miracle that no one perished in that crash.
Indeed.
But the true miracle you mentioned was all the caring that everyone coming together to help one another.
Well, we had the opportunity. I mean, there's a lot of, in the actual experience of the plane crash, you can talk about many opportunities for that miracle. For miracles, what we say, some things that are extraordinary. In front of you, one was the gifts of the pilot. You could have continued to try to fight the microburst, which would have caused us to be far more hurt or devastated. But his maneuvering of the plane helped us to at least exhaust the momentum. My biggest fear was the plane don't flip. If the plane flips, then we're all in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, so that was my biggest concern in terms of the plane. With regard to everybody else, it's miraculous because it was still downpouring on us, and so it's a part that has nothing to do with the plane or the technology. The plane, the rain was coming on us just buckets full, but that gave us precious seconds to get out. The fire did not consume the plane as fast as it could have.
Were you sure? I'll go on. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then the final thing I saw as beautiful was a lot of people got out, ran, as we were told, but there was quite a few brave men and women who would not run until they see someone else that they were caring for safe as well. That to me was beautiful and courageous.
Were you sure, Reverend Sanchez, that this was going to be the end for you and probably more on the flight?
Oh, sure, absolutely. I mean, in the back of my mind, all of us, in the one way or another, thought that. I'm like, this is it. We don't know how this is going to end. My fear was I was going to be crushed to death or burned alive, one of the two. These two things are not nice things to think about. So, you know, when people ask me, how was I thinking at the time we were going through this, in the middle of the crash, I said, well, I'd be honest with you, just two things. One, absolve everyone, because that's what I do. I'm not a paramedic. I'm not a firefighter. I'm a priest.
Yeah.
And so I absolved, I asked for the Lord's forgiveness for all of us, and may we be received well.
Just prepare
yourself. What's coming?
And, you know, this is probably going to be a biased answer from you, Reverend. But, you know, I am, I should go to Mass a little more often. I'm Catholic, but I do believe in God and I am very spiritual. Was there some point where people at that moment when it looks hopeless that they do turn to their faith? I know you did.
Well, there was a lot of screams for God that day. It wasn't just me. A lot of people were praying just before the more violent. When we knew we were in trouble, clear people were, of course, when you get to that moment, you're becoming aware, guess what, it's over. And the question, and it's what I was saying in my sermon on Sunday, when you get to the precipice at the end of this life, then the questions of what happens after crush you. And so you have to deal with that question. Will you face him and what will you tell him? Our faith tells me there's an accounting. Are you ready for your accounting? And those are the questions that kind of haunt us all today a bit. Can I have been a better person? Mm-hmm. And is this an opportunity to be a better person? One of the things that comes out when people ask me, I mean, now afterwards, well, I am so blessed that yesterday was a perfect example of that. How many people express their loving care for all of us, especially for me? I'm so humbled by that. Normally you get that wonderful words and expressions of love in a eulogy without
right.
putting you away. But I'm the lucky one that gets it on this side, and it transforms me. It increases my love for the people whom I care so much for. I'm more intense about it, more intentional about it. And so I hope, I pray, I become a better priest, ultimately.
We're talking to Reverend Ezekiel Sanchez, a recent plane crash survivor. I'm sure you know the story, telling us his version of the story. Reverend Sanchez, I mentioned earlier that many times somebody who's had a near-death experience like the one you just experienced all of a sudden has a new appreciation for life. I don't doubt for a second you've always had it, but why does it take something like a near-death experience for most people to just all of a sudden wake up and go, wow, what a gift every day is?
Well, me being a religious person, and all people, if you're in ministry in some form, well, guess what you're dealing with? You're dealing with describing the promise of God, God's promise of life everlasting. Well, if you have a chance to meditate on that at any time, it's less scary. But if you don't think about that, your whole world, heaven is here.
Yeah.
You're kind of connected too much here, then you become aware that there's an entire reality that you haven't really dealt with, and that's the scary part. You're normally afraid of that which you don't know.
That's so true.
That is true. The unknown is what you were fearful of.
Yeah. Are you going to get on another airplane anytime soon?
Oh, I'm not afraid of the plane. I'm afraid of the pilot. Well, I mean, I mean, I've had, blessedly, when I was a younger priest and more adventurous, I had took some aviation classes. So I'm not necessarily a neophyte when it comes to knowing things about aviation and physics and that goes with it. I love that stuff very much. It's a nice hobby of mine, just personally. But one thing I can say is, you know, when we were taking off, I was wondering, why are we taking off in this?
In the storm?
In the storm, one of my fears, because it's not unique to Mexico, but it happens all over the aviation world, where perhaps pilots may feel too pressured to leave on time or take off in conditions that probably are not optimal. So there's more to the life of a pilot than just deciding go, no-go decision.
And, I mean, think about it. The pilot does not want to die either. So, obviously,
absolutely
they're not
going
to put their life at risk because, you know, they want to stick to a schedule. So it must have been okay to take off. Just scary.
Yeah, sure. And I don't know what he was feeling, but the one thing that was odd was you have a large storm front coming and you're taking off. So you must have had a lot of confidence in your equipment or your abilities, and maybe that got the best of you.
This is a very personal question, but I'm curious. Any nightmares or lingering effects after an event like this?
You think about it a lot because, like right now, having to relive it and tell the story, which I don't mind, is kind of therapeutic for me.
Yeah.
But I think I'm less wounded emotionally than my other passenger brothers and sisters. Once again, for me, it's part of. I deal with people's issues of death and dying all the time. This happened to be mine, but here at the shrine, we get always people who are cancer-ridden. Getting ready to say goodbye or begging for a miracle in their own lives, crash victims, immigration issues, you name it, people come to this special place with either the best of times or the worst of times. And so for me, being a person who had a purpose, so even though I remember my arm was broken, well, my priority was to minister to people in the plane crash. So as they were coming out and getting into ambulances, well, the ambulance driver yelled at me, said, would you get in the plane? I'm trying to attend to those that they're putting in.
It's so nice to hear that people were helping other people, because in this climate that's going on right now, I feel like there's not a lot of love going out to your fellow man or woman. So it's nice that people were coming together. Unfortunately, it's in a time of trouble. Why can't we come together in a time of wonderful things?
Well, I'm just glad it happens, no matter how it happens.
I guess.
Absolutely.
But one of the dangerous parts I noticed, and other people have I read about it, when you're too attached to things, I mean, if you're reaching for your bag trying to get out and there's people behind you, that's a bad thing to do.
Right.
You're in the middle. And so happily we didn't see that too much. There was always somebody reaching for something, but get out, get out, get out. Who cares about that? Get out. Is what the scream was, and I guess people listened to that, and they weren't that attached to their belongings. But when you're attached too much to things, it can be dangerous for you in many ways.
Wow.
We're so glad everyone survived. It does truly seem like a miracle. 49.
It was for me, yeah.
49 of the 103 passengers injured, no deaths. It's amazing.
Amen. I agree with you, and I'm so glad. When people ask me that, I say, we didn't lose one.
Yeah.
We didn't lose no one.
So
that makes
important.
Me so happy.
Reverend Sanchez,
like, you know,
an honor to talk to you today, and what a story this is, and who will play you in the movie, do you think?
Oh, my God, I have no idea. Don't even go there. God help them. They're going to have to do a lot of hard work.
They'll find somebody. Congratulations on still being here, sir. That's the bottom line, is we're all still around to talk about it, huh?
Well, as I tell my parishioners, God probably said it's time to take him in, but the Virgin Mary stepped up and said, no, throw him back in. He's got more stuff to do.
Perfect.
And continued healing to you and everyone else and your parishioners, because it will take a little while, but it's so nice to speak to you.
I appreciate everyone's caring and prayers, and it really means a lot to all of us. It's great to be for Chicago. I have no idea how much I love being in Chicago.
Love hearing that. Thank you so much, sir. Have a great rest of the day.
You too. God bless.
Reverend Ezekiel Sanchez, one of the survivors from the plane crash that took place at the end of July. He said Mass for the first time, celebrated Mass for the first time since his accident yesterday at the Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Des Plaines. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.